Hey, welcome to the Mead House. Jeff here.
Chris here.
It is the first of the year, bud.
It's the first of the year. I've gone through an entire year with a year and great year.
It's been a lot of fun.
It's been a lot of fun.
You know, you tell me, hey, you know, we're going to hang out and drink mead on a weekly basis and just, you know, talk about something we find interesting. And I think it's been a great year.
Yeah.
And we are at the first of the year. So we're doing our little, you know, 2025 recap episode versus first year recap episode. So we're getting deep into it.
And I went through the last few weeks and I've actually listened to most of our episodes, well over half, all over again. And yeah, I'll be honest, the other 40 I didn't necessarily listen to the third time, or even second time in some cases. But I have been here 50 episodes as of Christmas.
Nice.
This is my 51st now.
Very nice.
I'm sitting here.
I know we missed a couple weeks in there, but only a couple. Yeah. So we're turning right along. Hard to believe we've turned out 50 of these.
Really? And, you know, we got so much that we've talked about so many things we want to do for this coming year. We're really happy about that.
Yeah, this is going to be an interesting work. I feel like in my reviews of our last year, we've been kind of hitting our stride as far as just like how we set this up and how we do stuff. Like we have, I like the fact that we have basically like a rough outline when we sit down to do this and then we kind of just let it flow.
I mean,
it keeps the conversation.
We both dealt with scripts. We both written scripts.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
absolutely.
We didn't follow those rules, to
be honest. I mean, yeah, you start with something, but this, I think for both of us, the script is usually somewhere to start and it gives us a structure, but the structure and the content have room for improvisation and, you know, feeling things out in the moment. And I think that keeps it natural. It keeps it fun for us.
But the reason we're doing this is because of our people listening to us, people coming in, tuning in.
We need to thank you guys more than anything because week after week, we get to see those, you know, those numbers climbing steady. We get, you know, the last few topics we've had good conversations you know, the Polish, we had a couple, you know, fun conversations before about the gluten-free brackets and things like that.
And the tamarind was pretty good.
The tamarind got some good traction there, too. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, we'll talk about this. It's been a great year.
Guys, you know, we're coming through the holiday season, so we're hoping you guys took some time to, for those of you making mead, to share it with your family and friends. You got some time to do things that give you the kind of satisfaction that mead making gives us. I mean, we want the best for you guys because we really appreciate you guys tuning in week after week. We would not be doing this without you. So thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Thank you.
Honestly, I mean, we really appreciate it. And the other thing we need to thank is, you know, Box and Barleycorn.
Of course.
Jake and the team have been right there with us from before day one.
Mm-hmm. And now coming in 2026, they're with us for another year. It's fantastic of them to be working with us. They've been in business now 58 years, and they're such a strong addition to the homebrew community. And as far as just they have information and the ingredients and equipment and everything you could possibly need.
And more importantly, the passion to help you do it right.
Right.
They want you to succeed from day one. Mm-hmm. Let's figure out what happened. Let's make it work next time.
Right.
They're right there, man.
The recipes, the kits they provide there, they are built with the same foundation. I talked to Jackie about this ages ago when I used to work there, that I put into that first 8% mead recipe that I published here towards the start of the year.
Yeah.
That I just want you to have a layup. I want something that is good from a first batch that takes you, you know, not too much effort so that you can go, okay, win. And then go from there.
And then just build a little confidence, build a little growth. And after that, man, the little setbacks we've all had don't mean nearly as much as you know that you can.
If we can start you on a solid foundation, we're already ahead of the game.
Oh, man. And we love doing it.
Absolutely.
But Jake, you and the team there at Bacchus, we really appreciate it. And guys, if you have not gotten your first mead kit at all, you don't have it put together yet, do yourself a favor. Get it from Bacchus because everything is there except the spring water.
Right.
You'll have everything except the spring water. And the reason you don't get spring water is because that's expensive to ship.
They can give you, we had two or three different variations on how much we want to throw in there. You know, they've got the basic stuff of like a fermenter and the chemicals and some yeast and stuff, all the way down to, hey, we can also include honey. Hey, we can also include bottles. I mean, they have options for you. And I think that's worth exploring, especially if you're just getting started. If you're a long time mead maker and you're just looking for something new and fun, they've got all kinds of stuff for you too.
Yeah,
They,
it's all there, man.
I love going in there just because it's like, okay, what's new now?
Because you've been there long, going longer than I have,
Yes.
and I have yet to find. Oh, I haven't noticed that before.
It's funny that I've been going there longer than you because you were the one that originally told me it was there.
True,
And
but I don't know how that conversation started, but it was a long time ago. But yeah, but I told you it was there, but I didn't do brewing or making or anything like that.
yeah,
And I'm
no.
saying, yeah, it's right there. I know it's there. But then you started working there, and then you got me involved there and said, well, that was backwards. Well, friends.
Yeah, we're bad influences on each other. What can I
Yeah.
say?
I wouldn't have it any other way. But
True.
if you're gonna order from them online, MHP 10, get yourself 10% off.
Their prices are already competitive. That's just a little extra for us to say thank you, for
Yeah.
them to say thank you. And
And for them to know you're listening and they know they're sponsoring something that's helping them, and we appreciate that.
right. It's helping everybody across the board. Everybody wins here.
Yeah.
So, we have our drawing. We completed the drawing and we have been reaching out to our winners as well as some of the extra people that are getting some extra stuff. So, I don't want to, in the odd case that, we go a week or two and we don't get an address from each of these guys, there's going to be a secondary winner. We're going to get this to somebody for
Yeah,
sure.
we've
So,
got a bunch of things. We've got gift cards.
We've got little swag bits. I still haven't looked through that crate entirely. There's, a lot of the cool stuff went to previous Iron Bee winners because that's what a lot of this is, leftover swag from the Iron Bee. But we've got little buttons and stickers and some cleaning chemicals and things like that.
Yeah,
So,
and of course we got the books that you have to, if you don't win the book in your category and didn't have the other one, the chances are pretty good you're going to get something, guys.
we'll try to get you
We'll
something.
get you
Yes.
something.
Yeah.
Because it's just our way of saying thank you and sticking with us for a year.
Absolutely.
This has been great. Now, back in June, was it June? We had my son's
Yes.
yeehaw,
Yeah, the
sarsaparilla mead he made. It was,
I he was trying to make meat as cheaply as he could, I think was
yeah, that was
the
the episode.
premise.
But at the same time, he had made it just before that, he made a sarsaparilla mead. Now, my son, and if you guys were a trip privy to this conversation, he, oh, okay, that looks like a good amount of honey. Mix, mix, mix. Okay, that's good. That's a good amount of water. I found enough room for the yeast. Cap, go. No measurements, no readings. My scientific heart was screaming. And I actually snuck in. I said, go away. I'm taking measurements. I won't tell you if you don't want to know, but I'm taking measurements because, dadgummit, if you make this good, I want the recipe. And I did. But about, he finished his first mead, his sarsaparilla mead he made. He named it Yeehaw about 9 months ago, and I found a bottle. So I
Nice.
brought it
So that's our mead for today.
in.
Let's pop this cork. And I see that it is still cloudy.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna fault him for that because I know, like we just talked about, he doesn't put a lot of he doesn't go through a lot of the rigmarole we do as far as making sure, measuring the OG and going through a bunch of different processes. So I'm not gonna say, hey, it's not clear. I don't think he cares.
No, he was trying to make something he would enjoy making and he'd be willing to drink, which is our base goal.
Sure. Yeah. And you choose your level of involvement here, whether you want to go through the, we explain why we go through a bunch of the steps we do. A lot of it is, hey, repeatability,
Yeah.
making a quality product, making it as good as we can, because honey ain't cheap.
Yeah. And he used the cheapest honey he could. It was actual honey, but he used the cheapest honey he could, and here we are.
It has a kind of a fruity smell on it. It's not exactly honey. It's not exactly a fruit I can put a name on. It's almost like a stone fruity kind of sweet smell to it,
It's
a little
a
yeasty.
lot. Okay, it's lost a lot of that up in your face smell we had the first
Well, and
round.
it's had 9 months to settle, so
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah, it's smoothed out. It's still got a little bit of rough around the edges, kind of it's honestly, I think it is starting to pick up just a little surly from being in a cloudy bottle with some yeast at the bottom. It's got a little bit of a bitterness to it.
But yeah.
I still think it needs more sarsaparilla.
Yeah, well, it wasn't going to add by magic, so. But It 9 months later, his yeehaw still is good. I mean, this is a kid who that he broke he threw away almost everything that Jeff and I do to make a bottle of mead. Just and I can honestly say he did not do that maliciously. This was not just to make us mad. He just didn't want to bother. And it's still good.
There are a number of ways to make mead, and I personally have railed against a number of people, especially a couple guys on YouTube that resisted things like nutrients and measuring gravity and crap like that. And, I'm not going to say I don't think they make good mead, but they don't make mead the way I like to make mead, and I like the process that I've arrived at over the years from doing this, from trying different ways to do it.
And you'll find your way. You will. And me, I'm like Jeff. I want to be able, if I do it really good sometime, I want to be able to do it again, maybe make it a little bit better. My goal is constant improvement. But without measurements and without notes, I can't do that.
Yeah,
So
exactly. So, bottoms up, enjoy, and
enjoy. Here we go. Now, we were going to do kind of a recap. We're going to talk about some of our favorite episodes, ones we liked.
right.
And one of my first episodes that really, when we decided to make this program, was I loved the soda episodes when we talked about the Mountain Dew and the Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, the soda inspired meat, I
Soda
think is
inspired me.
what
That was it. Yeah,
called it.
and that was among my favorite episodes simply because we don't we I don't want to poo-poo anybody's process, but we're never going to actually use a soda.
Right. Yeah.
If I want a soda flavored meat, I'm going to use the flavoring the soda's supposed to have.
By the same token, though, I think this guy was on TikTok, but there are content creators in the meat world that are brewing straight up Mountain Dew and Dr. Pepper and crap like that into a mead, rather than the approach we took is just inspiration of the flavors.
Yeah.
Let's make a mead that way.
Can you do it? Yes. But we said then, I'm saying now, if you want to work against the preservatives and the additives of a bottle of soda, give yourself as much of a headache as you want.
The process that he used, I still adamantly say you are putting too much risk of botulism into that meat, just by raising the pH to that degree. And I saw a YouTube creator that I will wholeheartedly recommend in contrast here, BC over at his channel is called Doing the Most.
Yeah.
He had an episode this week, I think, about, hey, you guys that are messing with your pH with mead, stop.
Yeah.
I have fervently said I've encountered stalls in my mead because the pH dropped during primary fermentation, right? And apparently there is a thing where people are correcting for that. And the reason that I was encountering it is because all that dissolved CO2 that I was not getting out from degassing is because it's bonding with the water to make carbonic acid. But that's a temporary bond, and you can break that by agitating it and
Yeah.
getting the CO2 out. You don't need to add, potassium calcium or potassium bicarbonate or whatever
To make it break up. You can do it just nice,
raise
simply
that
stir.
pH. Yeah.
Stir, agitate, swirl your bottle, swirl your butt, whatever you do,
And it,
it'll just fall away.
he had to add so much to get like above 4 on the pH scale on that Mountain Dew that, oh.
And I have actually added things like, I had a bitter or sour or whatever, I added additive. And all I got was saltiness in my mead, which was, well, let's be blunt, disgusting.
Yeah.
And I threw it out. And the fact of the matter, once I talked to Jeff, and he goes, just stir it. That's it. Yeah, that's it. And
Yeah.
I've not had the same trouble again. But yeah, but I loved talking about making flavors that already exist in meat.
Yeah.
And since then, I've done chocolate cherry, I've done chocolate strawberry, I've done chocolate banana. I'm working on my banana fluffernutter still. It's a problem child. But I'm enjoying the process. And hopefully in this coming year, we're going to talk to other people who have made things. I know there's the juicy fruit gum
Yeah.
that I want to do so bad, but I have to get that recipe again because I've lost it somewhere in my computer. It's in there somewhere, but I have no idea where. And she's going to say, you did what? And I'm saying, I'm sorry. But I mean, I remember we were talking to one of the first conversations we had at Valkyrie's Horn was the a guy put a chocolate mead in bourbon oak barrel for 18 months. And in my hazed brain of them giving me, try this, try this, try this, that stuck out.
It's when you're tasting 50, 60 meads conservatively over the course of a single day and doing that multiple days, you know you've found something special when something sticks out like
Yeah,
that.
and that did, and I'm not saying I'm gonna got myself a whiskey, a bourbon barrel to do that, because 18 months, I want my mead in my glass. But the fact that he had the ability and patience to do that, kudos, brother. May you attain mead sainthood. I am not going to wait that long. But oh, speaking of Valkyrie's Horn, it's coming up.
It is, yeah.
Guys, registry's open now. You can, if you have a bottle you want to enter, do it. Worst case, you're going to get great advice on how to make a better mead
Absolutely.
and give you a third person professional critique of what you did and how you can do better. And
You know, none of us judges are perfect, but the goal is to give you objective advice to better your craft. And the reason I started entering, contests ages and ages ago is because I kind of realized, hey, I'm giving my friends and family alcohol, and they're all telling me how good it is, but I'm giving them free alcohol. They're telling me how good it is because they're getting free alcohol.
and they're going to get, and if you say, oh, this is horrible, they may not get free alcohol anymore. So the judge, yeah, you're giving him free alcohol, but he's going to give you some actual feedback.
Right. The people that are not worried about stepping on your toes or hurting your feelings are going to give you honest feedback.
Yeah.
And I think that is valuable as you're growing.
Incredibly valuable. If you have a mead that you've done, enter it and tell us you entered it. Jeff, as a judge, will never know that's yours, but I will tell him afterwards.
I will try to avoid any emails of details, but until after I'm done judging,
Yeah.
and then we can talk about it afterwards.
But,
And if I did run into it, bear in mind, I get to judge maybe five or six sessions over the course of this. And that means I'm drinking six or seven over the course of a single flight in that session. There are hundreds. I think it's around 250, 300, I think was last count, maybe as much as 500 across
Per category, we had a lot of bottles.
there are huge categories and there are light categories. So sometimes like the six or seven that I'm drinking are a category,
Yeah.
like, semi-sweet historical meats.
Yeah.
Sorry, there's just not that many in the competition in
But
the
didn't
first
in
place.
the last one, the last background was something like close to 700
It
entries.
could have been. I don't remember
I mean,
the
I don't,
added meat.
I just remember seeing a massive amount of bottles I was opening.
Yes. So the chances of me getting to judge your mead,
Very small.
very small.
But the bottom line is, even if he does, I'm never going to tell him until it's too late. And you're going to get honest feedback. It's a great deal, guys. So look up the Valkyrie's Horn. Registration to enter bottles is open as of this broadcast. And do it. I mean,
Wholeheartedly. It's a great competition. I love being a part of it. I will continue to be a part of it as long as they'll have me.
yeah, and me too. I mean, I didn't realize, I mean, Jeff kind of twisted my arm to go my first one. And I've been twisting his arm ever since. So it's a lot of fun. Okay, anyway, back to this. We were talking about the soda pop meads, and we think that if you work with your flavors rather than the product, you're going to get a cleaner, easier, because if I have to fight the pH and the preservatives and the additives, I'm putting way too much effort into my mead, to be honest. It's supposed to be a hobby and relaxing, don't stress me out.
No, the Mountain Dew, the Dr. Pepper, those commercial products have the preservatives. They have all kinds of little, they have additives that, give you the body of the mouthfeel. They keep the color stable. There's all this other stuff in there that you're fighting when you want,
You're
in
looking
the
for the
case of,
taste.
yeah, you're looking for like a lemon and orangey kind of a soda
The Mountain
pop.
Dew was lemon, lime, and orange.
Right.
And I don't remember all the ingredients of the Mountain Dew. There was like eight, 10, but most of them were spices.
Yeah. And the closest you get to lemon, lime, and orange in those is natural flavors in that
Yes.
ingredients list. So
There you go. But I loved talking about that because I hated seeing people use the actual Mountain Dew, but Dr. Pepper, all that,
Sure, yeah.
because I knew about the preservative standards, and I said, what that I my simple little brain could not. Why are you doing this to yourself? Why beat yourself up for a fight that you didn't have to do?
Right.
That was my favorite part of the episode, because we say, you can do this.
Yeah.
You don't have to do it this way. You can do this all completely, simply better.
Well, and I think this goes back to you're choosing your own experience with the meat baking hobby. Like some people will go, okay, no, I just want to take soda pop and make it into a meat. We, from our knowledge base experience, what have you, and bear in mind, this is a growth thing. We're trying to grow as mead makers too. We're trying to find a better way to do it that's still going to yield a product that I think is going to be better than a soda pop that just been brewed into a mead or wine or whatever the hell you want to call it. I guess it would be a wine if you're not adding honey to it, because it's just a
It's just,
sugar product. But in that same kind of vein, one of my favorites was we did like fun ways to serve mead right after camp, and I had that stupid idea about making little boba pearls out of alcohol. I still haven't gotten to try that. I
We
for
still gotta try that
yeah,
one.
that's gonna be yeah, no, we need to try that. We need to try, I need to get a party or something together so I can have a fun time to serve that with, but
I saw something just this last holiday season. Mead jello shots. And the guy actually took a cranberry something mead, added cranberry jello gelatin mix into a jello gelatin mix mold that looks like it came out of a can. So it's got the color of cranberry from the can. From the, you open the can, dump it out, has the lines and everything, it like came out of the can. And he made a mead jello shot in that shape and put it on a plate and was slicing off pieces of jello shot. We gotta try
That's hilarious. I love
it.
that idea. It's so ridiculous that it's okay. I'm behind that. That's silly. That's stupid.
Mean,
That's fun.
I've tried jello shots exactly 4 times in my life, and I'm not a huge vodka person. And I didn't enjoy it as much as, oh, this is so much fun. Okay, this is cute. Mead? I'm in.
If it was just mead in a little jello shot kind of cup things that you usually that I saw at parties and stuff where I had jello shots, I'd be kind of, oh, okay. I mean, you're gonna get better if, it's gonna get you drunk better if you're using like a cocktail, like a vodka, gin, something, tequila, than if you're using mead as your base alcohol. Because you gotta add like water in the gel and stuff like that, it's gonna dilute it further. But if we're gonna be stupid about it and serve like a cranberry mead in a damn cranberry can mold thing, okay, that's ridiculous and fun. And I'm all for ridiculous and fun and whimsical bullshit like that.
And that's right. And on the only difference is you're making gelatin instead of using water, you're using your meat. That's the only real difference.
Okay, let's
All
do it.
right, anyway, onward.
So another thing that I thought was a lot of fun, meat in popular culture, our 300th episode, it was just it again ridiculous, kind of whimsical stuff. But we just had fun talking about, the where you see meat in TV shows and movies and crap like that. And I think that was, did we need to go a whole hour on that? No, was it?
Could we gone longer? We could
We
have.
could have gone 5 or 6 hours, realistically, and we probably would not have slowed down.
No, that's because we talk and we like it.
But it was just a fun
It
episode.
was a great episode.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was great to just kind of, I feel like that was one of those we let loose and we just kind of riff and, had a loose structure. I had some points that I was going to return to, and my make Gilan great again thing, that still makes me laugh.
This is Meat House. Anyway, that was awesome. On the historical front, I loved when we talked about the Queen's Mead. That
Yes.
was one of my favorite episodes because I saw that like 4 or 5 days before we recorded, and I'm waiting for my bush to grow.
Are the briar roses still alive? Are they moving? I mean, it's
Well,
October. We're getting into the winter months,
it's
so.
winter, so it looks like it's dead. I'm hoping it comes back.
So we're in that hibernation phase, and we're waiting for blooms in a few months, and
Yeah, then
fingers crossed for you.
fingers crossed. Here we go, because there I could not get them any other way but to get a freaking plant and plant the thing. So here we are, and that was the same time I was talking about. Later on, I was talking about the berries. If you want to have your own berries, and have you have to have cold winter months to make good berry production.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
But that Queen's episode, I loved it because This was the mead of Queen Elizabeth I. Her beekeeper, who apparently was a prodigioner of writing shit down, she said, "I want this every year or whatever. I want this every this time period." He goes, "Oh shit!" She wants it every other month, and it takes me 4 months to make. I better be cracking.
Well, again, you gotta know what the hell you're doing if you're going to repeat. So
Yeah.
good for him for writing that down and leaving something for us to work with.
Yeah, I loved it. Okay, but
Another one that I really enjoyed, and some of these are more recent than others, but that Tamarin we just a few episodes ago
yeah.
was kind of came out of nowhere how silly and fun that was going to be.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that'd be a really short bit of a show we did, but I saw your wife not even a week later drinking tamarind drink, and she's like, "Look what I'm drinking." I'm sitting here, okay, you found something you really like, and I'm not. No argument. I'm going to be honest. I picked up a can after that. I saw her, and I have one at home again. It's good.
It's a really interesting flavor. I was not expecting to like it as much as I did.
Yeah.
And I mean even the whole tamarind fruit, I did not tell you about the chaotic emergency I almost had after that, because I took that deli tray of just the whole fruits and I stuck that in my pantry. And then I was kind of hanging out. I think I was upstairs doing something in my office, and I hear a little crash, and I come downstairs and I see the dogs and the cat around.
Eating your tamarind fruit?
They were looking at it. They were kind of sniffing it and checking it out. It had fallen like upside down, I guess,
Yeah.
on the floor, and there was a lot of cracked like outer shell around. I didn't see any of the fruit that looked like it got chewed on, but I went through and inspected everything really thoroughly to make sure that nobody had eaten that tamarind stuff, because apparently it's like the same idea as grapes. You think of grapes as harmless, but they're actually like really dangerous for a dog.
Okay.
And I'd want my dumb black hole of a stomach cannoli to.
Yeah, cannoli is. She's lovely. She's a loving dog. She's a lovely, loving dog. Jesus, dumb as a stump.
Yeah, she's not smart.
Yeah.
She's a wonderful guard dog, and I adore her entirely. But she would eat and eat and eat if it tasted anywhere near remotely interesting to her. And I think I just got lucky that I got to there in time.
Whew, yeah, that's good. Well, one of the episodes I liked, another one I liked was the fast meats. Using it was
Like, yeah.
Vike meat,
And
Vike.
if I may be saying that wrong too, but
Yeah,
this is how
we've gone over
it's.
this. We either of us could write, both could be wrong. That Vike mead that you can do in warm weather without the off bad esters. I didn't get it done like I wanted to, really wanted to. I'm gonna have to try again. I may put a hot pad under my bucket for all I know, because.
I have done that with I took like a tote from Home Depot, put my fermenter in the tote, filled it with water, and put a sous vide stick in there.
I like the idea.
And that way you keep it at constant temperature.
I like that.
That's usually the best way to work with it. I
But
mean,
the fact they had developed a yeast that could ferment in 2 weeks or sometimes less.
depending on how high your gravity is, I mean,
That my mind is still a little bit blown from just that bit of knowledge I got at that point, and I love that.
Another one that I think was really worth talking about, the cocktails episode.
Oh man, that was so much fun. I mean, in looking back, I actually pulled up that list of recipes we did. It was the blackberry mead fashioned, bee's knees, autumn breeze, and the hot mulled mead, and they were so good.
My friend's giving or friend's I guess it's a friend's miss kind of Christmas party I meant to bring the hot mulled mead to. It got canceled at the last minute.
Oh.
Because half of my group of friends were either getting over something or getting hit with something.
Yeah, well,
And it's that time of year,
yeah,
right?
it's that time of year, it happens. But so did you have the meat already made?
No. I
Okay.
had the ingredients and I had my Instant Pot that I was going to bring for to use it like a crock pot to make
Right.
that. So everything was ready to go, and we'll figure it out. We'll use it another time.
Oh yeah. But okay. Of all the ones we had, the bee's knees was the most. It's good.
It's basic. It's not anything particularly like really interesting or novel. It still hit the spot.
Yeah, it still was so good, But the blackberry, I will love blackberry in almost every form for the rest of my life because it's blackberry. But the hot mulled mead was by far my favorite.
Right. I really enjoyed the autumn breeze as well. I thought that was
It
like
no shade. I loved it all, but yeah.
the autumn breeze and the blackberry new fashion, they both had a good amount of complexity for them. Like they're the kind of things like that I would order if I went to a cocktail bar and was willing to spend $12 on a cocktail.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing I would expect from that kind of experience. I'm too cheap for that.
Yeah, me too.
So
That's why I make them
yeah.
at home. That's why we keep recipes.
I'm also lazy, so
Yeah.
me doing that at home, I'm a little bit more in the bee's knees thing where okay, we're gonna do a sugar thing, we're gonna do a booze thing, we're gonna do a little flavor thing, shaky, shaky, drinky, drinky.
Yeah, okay.
Nothing wrong with that,
Yeah,
but
but yeah, well, it's Christmas. It's this holiday season still. I mean,
yes.
just getting past it now. The mulled wine mead thing is still
Absolutely. Yeah.
it's huge right now.
We'll redo that friends mess kind of an experience sometime mid to late January instead, and I still plan on bringing it for that. That's going to be great.
But one thing I did notice when we were talk about at during the Quebec or
Quite, yeah.
hike, you mentioned your orange. You had Jeff's orange meat.
Yes, I did. We'll talk about that when we get to Bring for Improvement.
Yeah, because we never gave a recipe or anything for that, you know. We talked about it very lightly, but there
We
was,
teased it a little,
yeah,
yeah.
that's something we need to, because
Actually, did we give a recipe for that? I don't
I did
remember.
not see it. And if you anyway, here's it's episode 276, and I did not see a recipe for that one.
I do not see it in the show notes, no. Okay, yeah, well, we'll have to get back to that because, yeah, that's one of those that's a point that I wanted to, that ties buttresses nicely to a.
And also, when we had the tamarind episode, we noticed that mixing it with a lemon citrus mead with the tamarind made it so good.
Yes.
So good.
Well, and like.
So we need to make a nice citrus lemon mead recipe we can hand out there.
Well, there is my lemon mead that we tried. That recipe is on the website.
Okay.
So.
I'll be, I didn't look for that one. I just, when I was, oh, wow, yeah, he talked about his orange mead. And there's no notes. Okay.
The lemon mead recipe is it's in the show notes for whichever episode we drank that in. And it is based on the Mead House 8%. So you might need to start there and you might need to, collate two episodes, but I trust you, it's not hard.
Yeah.
That said, the flavor notes I always hear about for tamarind that I heard from, YouTube recipes cooking with it and people brewing with it and the flavor Bible lime. And I believe it. I just
Yeah.
didn't get a chance to try it that time we had tamarind stuff. So
Yeah. So we'll have to make a lime meat for that just to darn. Yeah, one more thing on the list. I feel horrible. Give me another one you liked.
That reaches the end of my list of the stuff that I had highlighted, not
No.
that I
No.
just that's the stuff that stuck out.
Yeah. There was another one. There's two others I like that I listed.
Okay.
One was the gruet.
Yes.
The gruet was such a wonderful. I mean, I'm not a beer guy. We know this.
Yes.
But that was so cool.
The idea of taking something that was historical and kind of using it in a modern context, I think is it's admirable, it's fun, and it's something we need to play with more. You and I are both more in the we're interested in historical stuff kind of thing. So it comes naturally to us. But I think it's definitely just a worthwhile experiment for the average home meat maker to say, hey, they used to do this way. Is that worth doing? Maybe, maybe not.
Maybe not, but the other one I wanted to bring up was our exotic fruits episode,
Yeah.
because that was again that was so much freaking fun.
Yeah.
I mean, what is it? Wild berries and the what also is that golden berry we tried, and oh my gosh! Just, now we're sitting, and also we
Excuse
I
me.
don't know about Jeff because I was kind of in my own head at that moment because I was bouncing internally, and I don't know if it was external as well, but I
Little bit, a little bit.
was we just oh, it was great. But this has been a year of unbelievably cool year. Guys, look back. I mean, I'm gonna probably sit here with Jeff after we finish the show at some point. I'm gonna type in a list of the first 50 shows we've done. If you so just kind of quick reference, maybe we can put on somehow on the website.
Yeah.
And would you like us to revisit anything? Let
Are
us
there
know.
topics we should expand on more? Is there something we missed? I
Yeah.
mean, I know we ask this regularly, but guys, I mean,
This
this
is
is the
two guys drinking and talking about mead. The ideas flow, but the memory is kind of hampered at times.
The conversation goes two ways. I mean, it's the conversation between me and Chris as we're exploring and learning and growing as mead makers. But there's a wider conversation between us and you guys in the community out there that is also like, as they say, many hands make light work.
Yeah.
The more people involved in doing stuff that are sharing what they're experiencing, the faster we're all learning. And that's the goal of all of this,
Yeah.
isn't it?
One of the things, among the main things we've talked about, maybe making small batches of the exotic honeys we've gotten. I'm looking right at Jeff's apple cider
Yep,
mead. He's
my Polish. Did I tell you I found the sweet grass tincture?
No, you didn't.
Yes.
Okay.
I was cleaning out my pantry the other day, and I got to some stuff that was way back there, and apparently I put that and a tincture of rosemary and a tincture of I think sage in there in jars.
So you got
And
that. You added the lemongrass to this.
I have not added the sweetgrass to this
Okay.
yet, but before bottling, I probably will, because that the I forget what they call the cocktail, but there is that cocktail in Poland of that's the Zubrowka, the vodka with the sweetgrass in it and apple juice that is so goddamn good and so goddamn simple. But like, yeah, that I think with the caramely notes from the Melter's honey that I used here, and maybe some other interesting honey like adds for back sweetening purposes. Oh, I think that's a strong contender.
Yeah, that.
I'm narrowing down on
Yeah,
that idea.
and this, I when you when guys when I say I'm looking at a bucket, a stainless steel bucket, a plastic carboy, and a rack of tools with among the bottles we have here right in front of us. We don't just talk about this; we live it and we love it. So anything you can throw our way that you want to us talk about, you need questions answered. You want to just extrapolate more? Repeat is okay too.
You want to brag about something and want us to, tell
Brag.
you how cool you are?
You want to do a
Welcome.
humble brag or a boisterous brag? We're right there with you, man.
Yeah.
Because this is what it's all about. I think Jeff mentioned once upon a time on a show that when you become a mead judge, there's no levels of mead judge. You're either a mead judge or you're not a mead judge.
Right. It's not like the beer judging program where you get ranks and points and things like that. It's a yes or a no,
Yeah,
really.
and that's a shame because mead is, in my opinion, so much more complex a flavor profile with what we're adding with ju just honey, but the fruits too. We have more depth than simply a fruit or two or three.
There is the thing that I find so interesting about mead, really, is it has this, for the most part, if you step away from like Poland or Ethiopia, where they have long traditions and histories of making a mead, a lot of this is not beholden to the same like literally centuries long process of tradition that beer or wine are today. The ability to it and the flexibility of honey, because honey goes with so many different things, and there are so many different varietal honeys that have different flavored notes in the first place. Like we have such a broad brush to paint with and so much room to explore. I think we are still figuring out all that mead can be. I've said it before, I'll say it again.
And which is astonishing because mead predates wine.
We've talked before about how it's been theorized, and I totally buy into it, that mead was accidentally invented just by hunter-gatherers that filled wineskins or whatever. And
Yeah, or it wasn't that it had no human intervention.
very possible.
That is, they've actually found caches of honey in nature that have gotten water and natural yeast in the environment. We talked about in the yeast episode, and it made a probably not horribly tasty mead, but it made a mead without human intervention.
At the end of the day, a lot of our alcohol traditions are not necessarily about making something tasty. I have a feeling that making something tasty is a relatively modern part of, hey, what we need is a way to take these calories we're getting from our fruit or our vegetables or our honey, what have you, and preserve them. obviously honey you can preserve as long as you want to. To keep calories for, like it's apple season time, right? And sure, we could eat apples until we're blue in the face.
That's what, 20 minutes?
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's your stomachs will fill with apples for a few days, but those apples are not going to keep over winter all
Yeah.
that well. Maybe, depending on your storage solution, you can keep them for a month or two. Keeping them long term, especially if you've got like an orchard with a lot of different trees in it. Cider.
Even in Prohibition, making applejack from fallen fruit for waste not whatnot was legal because you don't want to lose what you're growing.
Well, and I think that's an that brings up another thing that might be worth trying. I know we've talked about wanting to try doing some distilling, but we should probably try freeze distilling too.
Sounds good.
I
I mean,
mean,
isn't that the base of winter wines?
for the most part, yeah.
Okay.
Like ice wine and things like that are well, some of the ice wines are made from grapes that freeze, and so the must that comes out of those is already more concentrated. But I know, a number of people will make like applejack or things like that just from they make a cider, they freeze distill the cider, and now alcohol.
There you go.
So,
But yeah, but this has been a great year for us. We've had so much fun. We've drunk way too much meat. Well, we have not. We've drinking enough meat for the show that we could still talk.
we got a little slurry story in a couple episodes.
And that's
Let's
okay
it
because
happens.
sometimes the meat just hits funny.
So, Chris, let's talk about our proudest moments from the year.
Proudest moments. Oh man, I think my proudest moment is realizing that there's no wrong meat. I mean, of all my life, I'm like, you can do this way or you can do it the wrong way. There, it's a very binary thing. And through meat making, you found out the wrong is when an accident happens that you did not, for whatever reason, happened. Something happened, and it wasn't wrong. It was an event. But my favorite thing I've learned in this last year was the fact in our this wonderful escapade of learning to make new and better meats, there's nothing wrong with anything I'm doing, whether it came out good or not. And that was among my favorite things I've learned this year about. I also learned the fact that although mead can be a solo adventure, it doesn't have to be.
No, it could be fun with friends, and I will wholeheartedly agree. Like, if you have a resource like we have with Bacchus in your area, or you have a homebrew club that has people that are interested in mead, I am not the most social kind of guy. I'm very happy to work from home and, kind of hang out, and, I will go visit, Valkyrie's Horn or another competition or two during the year, and that's all the socializing I need for the year. Thank you very much. But,
Yeah, I'm the shyest person in my house. No, I'm close. I'm close. Me, guys, I'm out there. If you see me, hey, are you? Yes, I am. And we're here, off we go. My wife will roll her eyes and walk away.
Which is not to say, hey, if for some reason you recognize me by voice or by my picture, maybe, I don't know, out in public, you are still welcome to say hi. I'm not a shy person. I'm just not inclined to go seek out socialization and things like that on a regular basis. But yeah, no, this community that is we get to be a part of, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. And then
And are there people in there you don't want to hang with? Everywhere.
sure,
No matter where you go, you're going to find somebody you don't see eye to eye. But the fact of the matter is, we all have a common ground here, and that's making something good.
And for what it's worth, the thing that I will happily talk about all the damn time. Yeah, no, you can ask me about meat. Even you can ask me dumb questions about meat, and I'll still entertain dumb questions about meat. If the show shows you nothing, that's I will absolutely entertain the craziest ideas about meat.
Yeah, we I mean, I still want to make that London Fog meat I talked about, because my Earl Grey Moonlight meat
Right.
turned out so nice,
It did.
and I wanted to add some lactose to it. And that just seems like a no-brainer, but I just haven't started yet. I'm really
Yeah.
sad.
Well, and we'll circle back to my proudest moments, but this brings me to one of I think there's a room for growth here that I highlighted a couple episodes, and they basically come down to the same thing. Because we had an episode about time management and finding the time to do things, and making making the most of the li limited time you have. And when we were recapping the Valkyrie Sworn, one of the things I highlighted is that I want to bring my mead to the next level. My room for growth from this year, from everything we've been through, I still don't give myself enough time in general to enjoy my hobbies. You know, I get caught up with, hey, I gotta get the kid to school and get him home and make dinner and do, you know, the dishes and the chores and things
And
like that.
there's the
And
clean house is all up all about for everybody all the time.
it is. And when it comes to the end of the day, when I've, you know, after, you know, the kid goes to bed and things are settled down, do I want to make mead? Yes.
Do you have
But
the energy
it's
to make mead?
an energy thing.
Yeah.
And so I think there is part of me, I'm throwing around some ideas of whether it's like, okay, well, you know, do I maybe I like every other week, for example, on Fridays, I have the opportunity to take a half day if I work a little more the days before. So I think, you know, yeah, I'm gonna just make it on my calendar. Those half days are gonna be mead days. Just so that I'm
Focusing on me.
right, I have that on my books to do. That's just what I'm gonna do. I'm not gonna goof off, I'm not gonna relax.
This is goofing off. You're gonna be constructively goofing off.
I'm gonna be doing something productive instead of just, you know, my own self-care in many of these cases, either playing video games or sitting on my back porch with a beer drinking and watching chickens. I mean,
Their chickens are soft. Couldn't resist.
so my proudest moments though, there were two episodes that I was looking back at all the stuff we did this year. I'm really glad we got out into the ether. And one of those was the gluten-free Braggots one, because I don't think mead and cider are kind of in that wheelhouse of, hey, you know, if you're gluten sensitive or you have gluten intolerance or things like that, you know, those are your go-tos. But the idea of you can make gluten-free beer-like drinks using mead, that doesn't get enough traction because it's there are a number of people that they're affected by that. And I think that's it's good that we got that into the ether and got people thinking about that.
Yeah, and
I'm
that's really good because we're inclusive, and I don't do well with
Hops.
hops,
Yeah.
and that's we well established here. But that doesn't mean I can't have a beer because there are hopless beers,
Right.
there are gluten-free beers and Braggots, and we can do this, man.
And I was frankly surprised at the extent of the ingredients that are available for us now, as far
Oh
as like
yeah, that was amazing.
the oats and the different like non-glutinous grains that they've got malted to different temperatures. Like there are people that are taking this challenge and doing great things with it, and it's awesome to
It
see.
is. I mean, the growth and the expansion. It's so cool. Are we causing it? No, but are we? We want to be a part of it. Absolutely.
And do I want to at least give these guys a you know props and say, hey, good job. I'm glad you guys are doing this. Hell
Definitely.
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I will give people all the credit in the world for undertaking something difficult that betters things for other people
Yeah.
any day of the week. The other thing that I'm really proud of, and again, I will restate, I'm not sure that it's all that useful, but the microbiology episode that we did, you know, is we could have gone into a lot more depth. We could have gotten a lot more information. I could have done a lot more like fine detail work and you know made sure that everything was on the up and up from my side. But we went into a lot of depth for a kind of a like a rote beginner kind of class. And is it useful to everybody? No. Is it maybe useful to somebody over the course of their brewing career? Maybe. I'm glad that
Is it
that's.
good information? Absolutely.
I'm glad that we have that thing we can tuck into somebody's back pocket though, so that they can, you know, they have an easy reference if they need it and they want to, you know, capture some yeast or harvest some yeast from a batch or what have you.
Yeah.
Like that is really cool, and it's kind of stretching the bounds of, you know, how do we make mead and all the fun stuff we do with this hobby just a little bit further.
Yeah,
That's
and there's absolutely no reason not to
so
try.
much fun.
Yeah, that
Yeah.
was a good episode. I mean, I had to let you leave dog that goes in here. This is absolutely your wheelhouse, not mine, but the amount of knowledge I mean, sometimes for me, knowledge is just for the sake of having knowledge.
Yeah.
I'll probably never use most of that, but it was cool to know.
Yeah.
It was cool to know. Anyway, but
So, your proudest moments.
my proudest moment was the fact I stopped, I stopped looking at mead as this secret thing that you can't share with people. And I mean, coming out and saying, "Yeah, I'm a mead maker." I mean, people, when okay, if you make mead, you're gonna say, "Oh, your friends, oh, you make mead. This is so cool." They went for alcohol.
Yes.
But Jeff telling me a year or so ago to enter a competition and get was okay. I'm not shy. I'll freely admit that. However, being judged is hard.
Yes.
And but when I actually had the opportunity after I was judged for what I sent in for one competition. I went to another competition and met the judge that judged me. And oh, I remember, and they said, "I remember your mead. Can we talk about it?" And oh my gosh, look, a flower is blooming. It was so cool because it wasn't personal. They were being instructive. Is this in criticism? This is, hey, good start. Let's make it better.
And honestly, like if you enter competitions, more often than not, your judge's information in the top left corner of your sheet will have a judge's email address. If I've judged one of your meads recently, like and you have questions about my judging stuff, you're welcome to email me. That's what that's there for. It's not guaranteed I'm going to remember your specific thing
You're making a
because
commitment.
I will have had 6 to 8 other meads the same like hour long session that I was drinking yours, and then I will have 2 more sessions that day, and then probably taste some other things
Then two
and
or three more
care,
sessions the next
and then
day.
go to a
And
bottle tasting that evening, and then do the same thing the next day.
you may have to send him a copy of what he wrote to you to, get some feedback.
Yeah, no, it would not hurt to include the PDF of my comments on the score sheet, but yeah, I can help answer questions. I am down to anytime.
So among my favorite things that happened, I learned this year was the fact that nobody's my enemy here. For the most part, they're actually an ally at worst and a friend at best. They want this to be better. They want me to be better. And having that level of support, especially in this day and age,
Yes.
just unsolicited, "Hey, yeah, that was good. Okay, do try this next time. Do this next time."
Well, in the wider mead community on like, Facebook and Reddit and things like that, I'm willing to bet not everybody is quite that broadly friendly, but the people that you meet at competitions,
They are.
yeah,
They absolutely are.
there is no reason to. More and more people that I meet, they have the shared opinion that, hey, that rising tide will raise all ships.
Yeah.
So, if there is a reason for us to be in competition, it's so that, when you make something better, I can make something better, and then we are competing to
Get better. I'm not competing against Jeff, because I would probably lose at this point, but I'm getting there.
you
But
make good beat.
by the same token, he's not competing against me. We're not competing against each other. We're competing to make the better mead. It's about the mead, not about the person.
More often than not, I am competing against myself in my
Yeah,
own
absolutely.
past, screw
Because
ups and advances.
but that was my favorite realization of the last year. Because even okay, I put my mead out, what was it, three 2.5 years ago. I got judged that year. That year was my first time to Valkyrie's Horn, where I met the judge, one of the judges that judged my mead. Now, mind you, remember, if you don't remember this, I put my mead in the wrong category, could not be medaled, could not be rated. They simply gave me a judgment.
Right, they gave you a score.
They gave me a score that I would meant nothing because it was in the wrong category. That was my fault. I did not do my due diligence. I accept that. But a year later, at the second Valkyrie's Horn, he still wanted to talk about what I was doing with my mead. He had no reason to remember me.
No.
None. But he did. And that was among my favorite memories at the second Valkyrie Horn with you.
My memory is not that good. You have no reason to expect that if I'm judging your meet a year ago, I would remember the details of it. Hats off to him just from a memory standpoint alone, especially on a day when they were drinking a lot.
Yeah, no kidding.
Like,
Well,
my hat to you, sir.
yeah, but I wear tie dye. It's kind of I'm visually. Oh, it's him. It happens.
Oh, that guy. Damn it.
Yeah, that happens too. Anyway, not mad about that. But yeah, I've got 29 favorite colors, and I like wearing them all at once, man. I've said it before; I'll say it again. Yeah, but
All
that
right.
is among my favorite things that have happened to me this year.
Nice. So, we did my room for improvement. Let's finish with yours.
My room for improvement, I need to make better notes. I need to make sure my notes, not just what I'm doing, but when I'm doing it and the time of day I'm doing it, with a little more emphasis on the scientific variables, I need to keep track of flat out.
You know, the taking notes are a part of everyone's process, and at one point I had a big long sheet with a bunch of like different little slots to fill in information, and it was great, and I was sure I was going to get all the detail I wanted, but it became a lot. And I figured out from my own process, just from doing it time and time again, the best way to do notes is just to narratively describe everything.
Yeah.
Just to talk it out as if I'm going through the process in my own head and write what I'm doing and try to get those details. Like, hey, it's this temperature. It's this, blah, blah, blah. It's, 2:30 in the afternoon. It's cloudy. Is that necessary to know? No. I mean, and in this day and age, though, like, we have tools like voice recorders or the AI recorders or whatever. You could
Yeah.
literally just have that transcribe and talk while you're doing your meat making. That might work for some people. I don't know that that works for me.
No, it wouldn't work for me. I'm like that. I don't really, I'm not a big fan of AI.
We still have to do the second,
Yeah,
if not maybe the
the
third.
third episode of the AI. Well, we
What
went
a
over the rest of what we did for you guys. And when we saw the recipes on the AI, with the AI chunked out, we looked at it, yeah, we can do that. But if we were following strictly what they said, it would have been a problem.
In some cases, it was better than I was expecting.
Yeah, agreed.
I don't think it's still good enough,
Yeah.
but that's not this episode.
No, it's fine.
But as far as just listening to what I'm saying and transcribing that into a text,
Sure.
it's an option for people.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I have that college student mentality of if I'm going to remember something, I have to write it down, and I can't type it out. I have to write it down with a pen or a pencil. That's how it wires itself into my brain.
Yeah, and that's and I'm the same way. I just my what I need to know is I learn from for myself is I need better notes. I mean, I don't need to tell you the barometric pressure and the temperature to the last decimal of the day. I do have to say, on this day I did this, and on this day I did that, and this is when I did took this away from that on this day.
Right.
In the first, I don't have to say at 2:30 afternoon. I have to say in the early afternoon. I do have to say 10:30 in the morning. I have to say in the late morning. I don't have to have exacting, but I do have to have better notes. And that's something I'm gonna have to work on, and that's me. But I'm a fly, I'm a squirrel, I cannot make my bunk, so I get distracted easily. And so
This is a growth process for everybody. It's nice that we can take this time to identify, hey, this is where I'm falling short on something I enjoy, something I want to get better at. And this is part of growth, man. It's good to have somebody like you to keep me accountable and keep me here just making this show week after week too.
yeah.
So
I mean, guys, Jeff and I will hang around for no reason whatsoever and do whatever for any reason because we enjoy each other company. We've been friends for a very, very long. He's my best friend, comma. We do this because we love doing this with each other for you too. Welcome to the group. Welcome to our little powwow here. Jeff told me directly, one of the biggest compliments I've ever gotten from my best friend Jeff was, because you enjoy doing this with me so much, and I enjoy doing this so much, I get myself in a schedule to get these edited and out. And I'm glad he told me on the phone, because I didn't get to see me cry for a second, because that was so awesomely supportive. Because me being happy being with my friend was helping support him and getting to a schedule where he, doing something he wanted to do, because it gave him motivation.
Right.
And that's great. And he does the same thing. And I've made better mead in the last year than I've made before. By the fact we chose to make better mead.
Yep.
I've stepped out of places. I haven't done meads I wouldn't have done before. I'm gonna say again, the banana fluffernutter is so far out of my wheelhouse, it's not even funny. But I'm still trying, and I'm not taking a safe bet and being willing to screw it up, that's kind of cool for me.
Guys, we hope you've enjoyed listening to us for the last year, whether you were listening week by week or if you've been checking out previous episodes. I know some of you guys I've talked to have been like, they were talking about stuff we released back in February or March,
Yeah.
last month, and like, oh, Cool.
Yeah.
The back catalog is there for your perusal, and we've tried to make as many of the legacy episodes with like JD and Ryan and Aaron and all that available to you guys too, because it's good information that's still relevant in many
And
cases.
we've got so many more things coming up. We're going to have the ability to do remote
Yes.
interviews this coming year. Looking forward to that,
Absolutely.
because that's just going to expand our the campfire here, and that's awesome. But the bottom line is, guys, thanks for being here with us. We really appreciate each and every one of you. Let's see, next week let's come back and start do two part two of the AI
Yeah,
recipe thing.
we'll see how far we get with that and whether we need to do a part three. I hope not.
I hope not. Well, if we do,
It will be useful. It will be painful, but it will be.
it'll be something.
We will be drinking for sure
Yes,
for you
yes.
guys, so that you can.
This is for you guys. We do this for you.
Mr. Barndale, here's
Happy.
to 2025 and a better 2026.
Yeah, Happy New Year, man.
You too.
Happy meeting everybody. Take care of yourselves.